Hey, you're listening to the Slugger Craft Beverage Podcast, a weekly show with two dudes discussing booze and life and pepper with copious amounts of swearing. I'm John. My co-host Steven and I are just regular beer lovers. We have great palates and plenty of knowledge, but we're not beer snobs. We're not going to fucking talk shit about beer. We're going to just talk about beer. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SluggerP. You can also reach out to us at jk.rtcbrew@gmail.com or sluggardpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, here we are at the Sluggard, ready to start off another episode. I'm John.
And I'm Steven.
And we've got a pretty good, pretty heavy lineup today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not intentionally. It's just it's getting cooler. It's time for a heavier beer.
That's right.
We actually got our first feedback. It means somebody's listening to the podcast. My brother-in-law, who we've mentioned before, listens to the podcast. Thank you, Jake. He's like, hey, turn your damn phones off.
Well, and I got mine on silent, so I'm halfway there.
And mine's always on silent, so I knew it wasn't me. But early episodes, you didn't have yours on silent.
No, I didn't think that through.
And we do record these out of order sometimes because we want to try to put things to go together. And we can't get together all the time.
No.
And so sometimes you might be hearing an episode that we've actually, like, we have a Christmas episode from last March. It was just we could get the beer then, and we wanted to fucking drink it then. So we went ahead and recorded that episode.
We haven't released that one yet?
No, we weren't releasing episodes at Christmas. So we got two great Christmas episodes. Probably just going to release them both at the same time as one episode.
Okay.
Anyway, so been a bit since we recorded, but now we're ready to really hit it.
Well, what do we got?
We are starting off with an Agrestic by Firestone Walker. This is an American Wild Red Ale. We're looking at batch number 9, brewed on 7/25/17, so definitely not the same batch we had last time.
Right.
Because it is also matured for 12 to 15 months, is what it says. This is 80% aged in French oak, 20% aged in American oak. This is 6.1% alcohol by volume, sold in a 12-ounce bottle. Now, this is a pricey beer. About $15 for a 12-ounce beer, which to me is quite a little bit.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like about sours. They're pretty pricey.
They are, but Firestone Walker makes good beer, especially their limited release batches.
Right.
So I have a lot of ideas that this will be good. This is a very hazy beer, which you can expect from the bottle age. And some of that's probably chill haze. But it's almost got a little pinkish tint.
It does.
Around the edges. Which I'm fine with. It is an American red, so you would think it would have a little red tint. And this is more of an amber with pink at the edges. Nice head on this thing, though. It's like just a little creamy layer of head that's not going anywhere.
The nose is nice, too.
I get a little vinegar, which is off-putting to me because I'm not a big sour guy, but I think that's what you should expect at a beer like this.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else there?
Slight oak, but not too much. It's mainly just the fruits and the vinegar.
Oh, yeah, a lot of fruits in there. A little bit of jamminess, maybe. I'm getting like some kind of jam, a mixed berry jam, maybe.
Yeah, getting like raspberry.
Oh, yeah. That's a great aroma. And at 6.1%, I know when people hear like $15 for a 6% beer, you really shouldn't look at it that way. You really shouldn't look at the ABV at the price. You should look at the flavor and the style of beer and what it took to make the beer and the price.
Yes, which... To me, it's a lot of trouble to make this style of beer when you can make something else that's probably better. Maybe.
There are some really cool things that go into making different types of sours, and I love wild red, Flanders ales.
I do like Flanders.
Yeah, anything made in a cool ship, which is basically a big flat vat they open ferment in, like let any outside.
See, I never knew what that was. I've drank a few of them, which have always been foreign, like from England.
Yes.
Nothing from America.
We have them here now, though.
Really?
Yes, there are several places that have them. I'm pretty sure Fauna Flora had. That's why they built that new place, was to put in cool ships. And it's certainly a hippie term.
Right.
That's for sure. I don't think that's where it started. I think it was older than that. But it's hippie as fuck. And... It's a really cool concept, and it kind of is a throwback to older styles of fermentation.
And because it's just an open vat, right?
Yeah, just big flat. So you want a lot of surface area for your beer.
How do you keep it
out.
Clean? Like how do you prevent?
You
stuff?
Want that bacteria in there because you've perfected the recipe. They said like some of these breweries in Belgium, and other places where they make some of these sours in cool ships, you would be disgusted by American standards if you go in. But they don't want to clean because whatever's making their beer good, they don't want to risk taking out.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I've been reading up on brewing and stuff like that, and one of the things that I've read the most is all this sanitation is ultimately unnecessary. Because you want some of that bacteria to get in there.
I will say one thing about this beer is that you get a tiny little bit of hop flavor right before the final bite. But I think it might be because of that, not in spite of it, the final bite feels unfinished, and it doesn't quite go as far as I want it to.
My palate still ain't got acclimated to the sourness of it.
Sure, and it usually takes about 3 or 4 sips before you can really say, this is definitively what I feel with this beer.
Right.
Especially something with as many complex flavors as this beer. You know, a lot of barrel-aged things, I would encourage 3 or 4 sips and then decide if you like it.
Right.
And with sours, usually, if it's a good one, I'm going to like it a little more each sip.
Now, they're out of California?
They are. Yeah. Sorry. About threw my beer on the floor. Yep. Fittingly, Agrestic Ale begins its journey as DVA, the foundational beer first offered when Firestone Walker opened its doors in 1996. Oak barrels, along with our proprietary collection of microflora, the souring agents, act like a chrysalis process, transforming DBA into Agrestic Ale over the course of several months. The result is a synergistic blend of beer matured in French and American oak with signature flavors and aromas. Wood-derived toast, lemon pith, I don't get much of that, and rosewood swirl on the nose and palate. Rosewood, I can see that.
Yep.
Followed by an amazing harmony of vanilla, coconut, and Earl Grey tea. I'm assuming they're trying to get their lemon in there and saying it's not really lemon, it's off lemon because of Earl Grey. I'm not getting that.
No.
Dark cherries, get that. Caramel malt, get that. And spice round out its complexity and drinkability. The finish is crisp with a mouthwatering acidity and chewy tannins. So I like the write-up. I don't like all their bullshit words they're putting in there because they're obviously trying way too hard in some of it. But I like that it starts out as their DBA.
I feel like it's very descriptive considering the front of it is a bear fighting a lion.
Right. Their logo is amazing. I love where their... It's an old school like boxing stance with a bear and a lion.
Yeah. Like, where'd that come from? I feel like that you probably looked that up.
I feel like I have not today, so thanks. But it looks like a very old, like, pub sign.
Yes.
I'm sure it's probably a takeoff of one of those or a logo for something from way back when. They are out of California. I can't find the actual place.
I would say the bear would beat the lion.
It's a pretty big bear. It has a six-pack.
It's
a grizzly. I don't know
if
you looked. This is a bear with a six-pack.
Oh, I see that now.
Yeah.
But the lion doesn't.
No. So core strength goes to the bear right off the bat.
Well, I think the form, too, the bear has it. The lion's kind of all over the place.
Well, I mean, the paws don't go that way.
Right.
As well, for kitty cats as well as they do bears.
Right. Kitty cat, yeah.
Yeah, we are spending no time talking about the beer. You went in for your third sip now, so what has it
I'm
developed
getting acclimated any? To it. So now that, you know, I've gotten acclimated to the tartness, I do get the dark, you know, the cherries and raspberries and everything like that. Getting a decent amount of the oak.
Yes. There's a lot of oak towards the finish before that, right where I said I get that little bit of hop, which is probably a very minimal hop flavor. It's probably like whatever hop variety is something I'm more...
See, I'm not getting the hop, I think, because of the tartness.
And no bitterness. I'm not talking about any kind of bitterness. It's more of a, like, just a hop flavor. And whatever hop they use, I'm willing to bet I might be more susceptible to it because that seems to be the way hops work is people, like, love a certain hop and other hops they can't handle whatsoever. I'm like that. I'm not a big Mosaic fan. Smells like cat piss, tastes like a sweat sock. I can drink anything with it. So if you got Mosaic in something, you can still throw it at me. Don't worry about that.
Well, I don't dislike it, but it ain't my favorite.
No, I'm not sure it's worth the price. If you were going to rank this as a type of stone fruit.
What?
Stone fruit. Fruits with a stone in them.
What?
Never mind. If you were going to rank this as a type of fruit, how would you rank this beer?
You mean a fruit with a nut in it or something like
just
that?
Just any kind of fruit. Forget the stone fruit shit.
You go first.
Okay. I'm going plum.
That was what I was... As soon as I said that, my mind went to plum.
Well, and I'm going plum because it is a darker fruit, a richer flavored fruit. Still not something I want that often. I don't go out buying plums just to eat for the shits and giggles, all right? So I think this would be a plum. It's good. It's fine. I don't want it all the time. I'll take this one, and I'll be good for another 2 years till we have it again.
Well, I would do the Rainier cherries.
Okay.
Because they come in like once a year, and you can buy them, and they're very nice for that once a year, but I wouldn't want them all the time. You know, just kind of like, after I've had it, and it's good, but let's move on.
I get you. And so that was our take on Firestone Walker Agrestic Farmhouse Sour Ale. That is not what this is. This is an American wild red ale. But it is called the Agrestic. I got that much right. Cut me some fucking slack. Let's get this one down, because this is our lightweight. That's our starter beer. Let's get something a little heavier.
Sounds good.
All right. Beer number two. We just finished the Agrestic by Firestone Walker, so let's try the Sexual Chocolate Imperial Stout by Foothills Brewing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've both been to Foothills, and we've actually had this before. I actually brought two beer today we've had before, but I thought they'd be good additions to the show. Actually, one I forgot we'd had. But this, Mamma Jamma, is Foothills' claim to fame. This is their Imperial Stout. It is 9.6% ABV, it's 75 IBUs, and it's sold in a 1.6 fluid ounce bottle, bomber. A cocoa-infused imperial stout, opaque black in color with a dark brown head. Big chocolate aroma with notes of espresso, blackstrap molasses, dark sweet toffee, and dark fruit. Smooth dark chocolate backbone with complex notes of coffee, dark toffee, and dark fruit. Says the same thing twice. Fuck. And so, now that I've read that, I can't remember what this tasted like when I last had it. I'm hoping there's a little fruitiness in there, like a little raisiny flavor, maybe.
I don't recall.
In there. Now, the label, we should probably talk about.
I like it. I do too. I want to be on the record.
If you've seen any of the old, like, Cleopatra Jones, Foxy Cleopatra from Goldmember, Austin Powers movie... any of the old Pam Grier black exploitation films, the label has someone who looks much like that with an afro on the label with Sexual Chocolate Imperial Stout in gold writing above and below her features. Now, with a name like Sexual Chocolate and a picture of a black exploitation heroine on it, you can understand why there has been some backlash to the brewery over their label. Now, the label has existed for probably the last 10 years. Maybe not quite that long. Let's say the last 7 years. They've had that label for this beer. But this year they changed their label. And I'm going to let you go. Hold on. I am not going to say whether that was a good decision, bad decision. I don't really care. I'm saying I never found anything wrong with this label, and I'm usually one of the first people to say you can't do that. But only because I've been to the brewery, I've seen the atmosphere of the people in there, and the people who enjoy this beer and think the label is actually really cool. Go ahead, Steven.
There's nothing wrong with the label. It's just everyone's got a bitch and find I'm offended by everything. It's a black woman on there. It's tasteful, and it fits for the beer. It's not a big deal. People need to get the fuck over it. Whatever liberal wanted to make this complaint about this black woman on here, there's nothing wrong with it.
My thing is, the beer is called Sexual Chocolate.
That's why
it fits. And the label features a black woman. You can't call black people chocolate.
That's not true.
Well, okay, you can. You shouldn't.
It's flattering. That's why it's on there.
Oh my God, it's like doing a podcast with fucking Andrew Jackson.
Nah, that's not true.
I know. You can make a coherent thought. This is terrible. Okay.
The reference to the chocolate thing has been used in the past and has not meant anything racist. It's been more flattery. And that's what this is about.
Now, if you were describing a skin tone or something like that, I've read novels where they do that, but I mean,
that's the way I take it, at least.
I've seen some different things where, like, someone's referred to a prostitute who is a black woman as chocolate. Like, that's their name. Like, come here, chocolate. That is degrading.
I've not heard that. I've heard cocoa. I've not heard chocolate. Right.
So we can,
there is a difference.
Now. Go ahead.
The way this is presented is not just because someone somewhere has used it in a negative way does not mean that you got to get rid of that. Because what is the new label? Is it a bare piece of dark chocolate, a picture of like an unwrapped Hershey bar?
I feel like it's just these gold letters and there's nothing else.
Or can you not even put Hershey on there? I mean, it's just...
You probably can't put Hershey.
But it's ridiculous. It was a nice bottle. It drew attention. But everyone's got to be offended by everything. Beer.
We'll get to that more in a minute. Beer. Let's talk about the beer, though. And let me just add this, that I do agree with you that I think this beer was actually made with that label in mind to honor, like, blaxploitation films. And those stars. Like Pam Grier. From Jackie Brown and all those movies before it that she did. I think it was done more as a like tongue-in-cheek wink to that it would be like something you would hear. It would be the name of one of those films.
That's why it's tasteful. And I mean, it's...
I might not use that word, but it's fine.
Nothing negative is meant by this.
And I'm not... And again, I'm not saying they should have changed it. I think they probably got a couple, like... two or three complaints and gave in because they didn't want something bigger to come of it. It's just not worth the fight.
Because we always got to change, you know, what we do for the minority.
Yep. All right, I just got my first smell of this, and I'm getting like a peanutty smell.
Oh yeah, I've tasted this. It's it has a little bit of peanut butter too.
Really? Great. I love it.
I think. Yeah. But I'm not going to go any further in depth because I don't want to offend anybody.
Oh, shut up and talk about the beer. Okay. I do get a little bit of that raisinette fruitiness, too. Yeah. I like that. That's what I normally look for in a Baltic Porter.
And I get a lot of dark chocolate, but it's not sexual.
No.
There's a difference in the taste.
It's very dry. And your sexual chocolate should be pretty wet. Right?
Yes, yes.
You talked through my joke. But no, this is a chocolate pre-loop.
Yeah.
It's good, but it is actually a better beer than I remember.
Oh, it's very good.
I just remember being kind of underwhelmed because of the hype around it.
Yeah, I do too.
But now I think that I can get it a little easier, that, you know, it doesn't sell out the first day it hits the market. It's a little better to me that maybe the hype has dwindled in my head a little bit. And now I can taste it just for the beer it is. And I'm like, damn, this is fucking good.
It is good.
I mean, it is. They are right, though. This is extremely dark. I'm holding it to the window, and I'm getting no light around the periphery, around the edges of this thing.
I tell you, from what I remember last time I tried it, there's a lot more coffee and peanut butter to it.
There is. That peanut butter does come through. Right at first.
Yeah.
Like, once the carbonation starts to dissipate, you're getting a lot of peanut butter, and then I am getting a lot of that raisin, dark fruit flavor, and that, I love it. I'm sure I'm going to have to re-rate this beer. This is way better.
And don't they make a barrel-aged version?
Yes.
Have we had that? Or is that People's Porter that I'm confused with?
I got a bottle of that once. I feel like I would have shared it if you had been around. A buddy of mine would go down every week to Foothills in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and he ended up buying a full case and sold me one.
Wow.
But I can't remember it either. I mean, that was 9-10 years ago that I would have had that beer. But this is way better than I remember. So hats off to you, Foothills. Now, this is aged almost a year. This was their January 2019 release. So that would be why we have the older label as well. I think they've actually already done the newer release, or they're gearing up for it. So it might be coming out a little earlier this year. You could easily check that out and get yourself a bottle of this beer. Get two. Try one. If you don't like it, wait a year. If it tastes like this, you got your money's worth. It is an expensive beer.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's why I ain't had it much.
Yeah. This is probably my second or third time having it because it is around $17 to $19 a bottle. And maybe now that they're producing it on a bigger scale, that price might go down. But there's a lot that goes into this beer.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess I get it. All right. You want to take a little break?
Yeah. Well, wait.
Okay.
Let's back up just a minute. What song would you pair this with?
Ooh, what song?
Because I already have one in my head, which is why I brought up this particular thing.
If you say Black Betty.
No.
I was just saying. No. I was prepared for you to go full Andrew Jackson.
No.
And I'm stealing that joke from Small Town Murder. Check out that podcast. It's really good. Go ahead. What song?
Jimi Hendrix, Foxy Lady.
Okay. I could go with that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, the only song that jumped into my head was I can't remember who sings it, but it was like, "Hey, you're a crazy bitch, but you fucked so good, I'm on top of it." You know that song?
Now who's being offensive?
What?
I'm the offensive one, and
I'm quoting a song. You are referring to African American women as chocolate.
No, I'm saying that was used in the past.
Yes.
It wasn't derogatory, except in the one instance that you brought it up.
When they were slaves, it was a huge compliment.
You brought up prostitution.
I'm just saying that's the reference I saw it used in as a nickname.
Where?
In the Deuce, the show on HBO.
Oh, my God.
And I believe it's also in the movie The Birdcage.
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it.
That movie is amazing.
Is that Clint Eastwood?
Robin Williams.
No, that's The Bird.
We are not going to talk about that right now. We are taking a break.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a second. That was Sexual Chocolate by Foothills. Okay. We were able to have a short little break. Now we're able to regroup, get going again, drink another big-ass stout so I can be drunk. Which is really the goal of this whole podcast, is to just focus my drinking and make it so I can tell people I don't have a problem. So, I gotta tell you one, though. I love telling my old man in beer stories. The other day, I was hanging out in Blacksburg, and I was actually at a 622 North, one of our favorite little beer bars there. And there was an older fella there. I can't remember even what brewery I was drinking now. But I said, they just won a medal at GABF, which we've talked about before, that GABF is a cool thing. I'll probably never go, agoraphobic, don't want crowds, but it's a cool thing. Yeah, and winning a medal there is awesome because it's a national thing and craft breweries are fucking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was telling him, and he was like, "Oh, what was it for?" And I was like, and I said something like fruited lager or something like that. He's like, "That's not even a real category." And I'm like, "Well, no, it is a category." He's like, "No, they give out a category for fucking everything now."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, have you... like, was GABF different when you went?" I was kind of being a dick. And he might have been to seven of them. I don't know. But anyway, he was like, "No, I'm just saying that you should go by style, give medals by style, and that's it." He's like, "It's all these fucking millennials wanting to give a participation trophy for everything." And I had to stop because I didn't want to get in an argument at the bar. But, okay, first off, you are millennials. We are people who are basically just after Gen X.
Right.
We are not the people he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He is talking about people younger than us.
Oh, yeah.
And so people don't really understand that that generation doesn't have a fucking name officially yet. Because we've been everything. We've been Gen Y.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember what we were called after that. Xennials. That was the thing for a while. We're just fucking millennials. I guess that's what we'll be called. Fuck it. All right? Tail end of Gen X. I'd have rather been in that. So we're talking about all this, and then I stop and I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me that you want to talk about participation trophies and that bullshit with millennials. Have you ever ran a fucking 5K? I know you haven't. I don't know why I'm asking that. Like, it's not rhetorical.
I have too, just not officially. But I've ran 5 kilometers.
Well, you know, I've done my fifth 5K recently, and I will tell you one thing right now.
I feel like you're just bragging.
No, well, I am a little. But I will tell you right now, you will never see someone flip their shit over not getting their little shiny piece of metal as an old-ass man at a 5K when he gets done. Oh, they flip their shit if there's no metal. Because they ran a 5K, goddammit. They didn't come in first. They didn't come in 40th, but by God, they finished, so they better get a medal. and they want to talk shit about millennials.
Don't most people walk those things?
Hell yeah, that's why I do it. It makes me feel good. Because I jog.
So you really didn't run a 5K.
Okay, this last one I did walk quite a bit. It was hilly as shit. But the one I ran in Mount Airy early spring, I actually PR'd. My PR, I mean, I ran five of them and I finished faster than I did the other times. I was fucking slow. But it was, I ran that whole fucking thing. So I was kind of proud of myself, actually. But my wife runs half marathons, so I got to do something to kill the time. And this one was paired with a beer festival. So why the fuck not? Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, that had nothing to do with anything. Just wanted to bitch a little bit
about... I'm not real sure where that even went. I mean, we went from Great American Beer Festival to a 5K.
I wanted to bitch a little bit about...
I feel like you just wanted to brag about your 5K.
Old man beer snobs are the worst thing in craft beer. So anytime I can bitch about it, I want to. And I'll be honest with you, I provoke them into having conversations with me just to give me stuff to talk about on this show.
I have a story that I will not ever say on here, but remind me after we're done, you know.
Thanks.
On this.
Now I have to edit shit out. Fuck you. All right, we are drinking Siren Craft Brew out of England, right?
England, yeah.
England. Shattered Dream's Dessert Edition, Imperial Breakfast Stout with natural flavors. Shattered Dream is the imperial version of our favorite breakfast stout, Broken Dream. Even more unctuous, there we go, than the original. We've amped up the flavors to deliver sweet biscuit, dark chocolate, and deep roasted coffee notes. There are no commas in this fucking label. This edition contains salt and specialty malts for a salted caramel undertone. Ingredients: water, malted barley, oats, lactose, coffee, cocoa nibs, vanilla, hops, salt, and yeast.
Is there commas in any of that?
It's in Berkshire, England.
What was Berkshire?
You know what? I'm going to say it the way I fucking want, Steven.
Berkshire, I believe it's...
Berkshire.
Berkshire.
We ain't fucking hobbits. All right? So give this a whiff.
All right.
Not getting much on the nose.
You're very direct about that.
I'm just saying, I'm not
getting
anything...
You're getting a lot of sweetness, a lot of sugar.
I was going to say, I'm not getting anything real strong. It's
been caramel, caramel.
All right, I'll give you the sugars.
Chocolate.
A little bit of creaminess. I'll give you the lactose.
Slight coffee. Slight.
I'm not getting any coffee. I think that's coming from the chocolate is what I'm getting. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
What?
Oh, you can smell the alcohol, though. Woo.
I just took a drink. I don't know what to think about that. It was it's very sweet.
I think it just burnt my nose hairs out.
But then the lactose really took over at the finish there, and I wasn't big on that. Hmm.
You can't go 30 seconds without talking, Steven. Oh, wow. Ooh.
The lactose at the end, I feel.
I get a little bit of metallic flavor.
I didn't on the first sip. We'll see on the second one.
All right, I learned this the other day.
You're dipping your finger in?
I did. And then you put it on your skin.
Oh, my God.
No. And then lick it off. And if it still tastes metallic, it's an off flavor, not metal contaminant.
Where the fuck did you hear that from?
Another beer podcast.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't put enough on there to taste, so it doesn't fucking matter.
No, you just licked your hand.
I just licked my hand and put my finger in my beer for no reason.
You can stop. Once is enough.
You know, I like learning from these podcasts, but I should probably listen to them sober, and I might learn more.
I don't like the finish.
No, I don't. I do not like this.
The initial is decent.
Yeah.
But it's overwhelmingly sweet, and then it just turns into, like, butter or something.
I don't get a ton of butter. I do understand the... And I think it's the lactose.
Yeah.
And then maybe the flavors they're pairing with that. I'm getting a little bit of the salt as an aftertaste. Like, after I'm done, I'm getting some salt.
Right.
But I would think you would want more of that in the initial flavor if you're going for a salted caramel dessert beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, no, this is not my thing.
What dessert would you pair this with?
The Drain. I'm going to go Bananas Foster. Because I can eat Bananas Foster anytime. Doesn't matter what shitty beer I'm having with it.
See, I figured the rum would cover up the beer taste. My answer would have been none, by the way. No.
And, I mean, hey, Siren Craft Brew, I'm going to email you and tell you we had this beer and tell you that we didn't really dig it very much. And you're probably going to email back and tell me to go fuck myself. But we still want to let you know, this is the only beer by you we've ever had.
And there's several variations of this beer.
Yes. And so we, I don't know, if you don't have to send us free beer, that'd be awesome. But you don't have to do that. But if you could let us know where we could get some of your other stuff.
At least send us the other varieties of this so we can compare it.
Exactly. I want you to be a great brewery. I love British ales. So pile it on, all right?
Yeah.
Now, all in all, aside from this last beer being shit, this has been a good episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've enjoyed myself today. All right. Well, I am John.
And I'm Steven.
And we're the Slugger Craft Beer Podcast. You can reach us on Twitter at SluggerP, Facebook on Slugger Podcast. Hit us up at SluggerPodcast@gmail.com or preferably jk.rtcbrew.com. And please hit us up. Give us feedback, if nothing else. Like us on iTunes. Review us on iTunes. Any of that other shit I'm supposed to say. Cheers.
Cheers.